Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Oh, it's lava. You know. Do it for the gold.
Nice.
Yeah.
I finished my magma doth.
I'm painting Nurgleman.
You are painting Nurgleman. We're recording. Once again, we're recording at night. This is the second cast in a row recording in the evening hours.
Game classy after dark.
I thought you were going to start playing some, like, you're playing some sexy sax. I thought you were going to be playing some, like, some, like, 1960s, like, Herb Alpert, the Tijuana Brass, like, sexy midnight Playboy party music.
No,
like,
no. Yeah. Not quite. I don't think we're there. I think we're past that. I think we need to be a little younger to hit that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Hey there, I'm your host Joe, and with you is always my co-host Steve. And today we're interviewing AFL-CIO Chairman George Meany.
We're just not that hip.
We're just going to get right on with it. George, is there a labor crisis in America?
Well, I was speaking to Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia?
It's Robert Loggia.
Was he even around in the 1960s?
He actually just is Robert Loggia.
He's dead.
All of our celebrity guests are Robert Loggia.
And they're all dead.
Indeed.
Oh, good God. So before we get into the gaming stuff, I got something to get off my chest. And I currently...
Is it a big turd?
It is a big turd. I had a Cleveland steamer earlier. See, this is why it's after dark. Got to keep up with these adult references on the podcast. No, I went to the Jurassic World exhibit over at the Field Museum.
That sounds fun.
Have you seen this?
I have not.
Well, it's a big waste of money, first of all, because it's like you see five dinosaurs. They're very nice animatronic dinosaurs. Like right now over at the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago,
aren't there like a shit ton at Brookfield?
Yeah, there's this whole thing. But the one in Brookfield is like really sad because it's obviously some company that just bought a bunch of animatronic dinosaurs from something and they set them up like around the world, like around the United States. And they're really bad. Yeah. And it kind of bothers me, too, because...
Okay, so it's for children.
Yes. What bothers me, too, is that they have, like... They call it dinosaurs and dragons, right? And so you
go... Are there dragons?
Yes, they have big statues of dragons. So, like, you know, wyverns and you know...
I mean, that's pretty cool.
But the problem is that they're presenting them right next to dinosaurs. So you know some toothless redneck is going to be like, huh, who knew that a wyvern actually coexisted with this pterodon?
Well, I'm going to take this moment to maybe make you a little upset.
What's that?
But there are many people who 100% know that dragons were real.
No. Oh.
So.
Well, yeah. And I think the problem is that those people should eventually die out. And places like the Brookfield Zoo should be promoting good science.
However... By going by all evidence presented of reality.
I know.
You are in the wrong, sir. As a matter of fact, you will soon be outnumbered by the people who know dragons exist.
Yes. Dragons,
especially in the U.S. It's happening faster than anywhere else.
it's true. Our president proves it.
That's right. He is the best president.
He is the best.
The most luxurious president.
The best dragons.
That's right. You have the best dragons. The biggest, the most fiery, furious dragons ever.
Yeah. I mean, not like those North Korean dragons.
They don't even have dragons.
No, they don't. They have a unicorn.
They have ragons.
Because didn't a unicorn give birth to Kim Il-sung's like father or something?
I don't
like that?
Know. I don't know the mythology of their dear leader. I only know the mythology of our dear leader.
Oh, okay. No, it's like the whatever his name was. That's like Kim Il, whatever.
He's a self-made man. He came up from nothing, pulled himself up by his bootstraps, and now he's a billionaire president.
Yeah, with only a small loan of $1 million.
Yeah, that didn't happen. He just found it.
He found it on the street.
He found it. He earned it. He earned that money.
Yes. No, I think it was like he was born in a cave in Korea, like, and there was like a unicorn there or something or other, like something ridiculous. I mean, we all go through like the facts 5-6 years ago when the one guy died who was like, yeah, he never poops. And
he never poops is my favorite. Like, that's such a weird and odd, like, sentiment. Like, that is such an... Like, if you're going to build a mythology for your dear leader, like, why is the never poops a thing? Like, that seems like I don't get it.
That's what it goes.
Like, it should be like, if I was going to build mythology for myself, I'd be like, angels ferry my shit to heaven. Like, I poop into their hands and then they flutter off into heaven.
Well, that's probably actually what the literal translation of the Korean documents for it are. But because, you know, translation errors, it just, he doesn't poop.
He doesn't poop. That checks out.
Yeah.
Especially if they use Google Translate, let me tell you.
Yeah. I don't know, that crazy moon language that the Koreans got. But yeah, they did that. But when they say it doesn't poop, that like gets to the level of like, okay, let's go. 18 holes, 18 perfect holes at once. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah,
you'll
that's
suspend
fine.
The disbelief for that.
It's like Paul Bunyan. You know, we it's like, oh, you know, Paul Bunyan cut down 30 trees with one axe swing. Eh, it's fine. It's American. Whatever. And then the liquid creates like he doesn't poop. Like no. Everybody poops.
Paul Bunyan poops.
I read that book. Everybody poops.
Baby blue ox poops.
Yeah.
You know, there's no giant Mrs. Bunyan, so you know what that means.
What's that?
Paul Bunyan fucks that ox.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt it.
Totally fucks that ox.
That really saddened me when I found out that...
That he fucks the ox?
Well, no, that was more believable. No, it saddened me when I found out that Paul Bunyan wasn't actually a myth. Like, Paul Bunyan is
corporate. He's like a tourist thing.
Yeah, he's no, not a tourist thing, but he was, like, written up for some logging company. Yeah. Like, they made him all these stories up. Well, they compile a lot of the stories.
Also, so looking at Paul Bunyan's flapjack house.
Oh, which is delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
They will give you as many flapjacks as you can handle.
And all the donuts. Those little sugar powdery donuts.
It's true.
Are delicious.
You'll never be able to get to the actual breakfast because you'll be full up on pancakes
Best
and donuts.
Thing about Wisconsin.
Debatable, but I'd say close. It's definitely in contention.
What else is better in Wisconsin?
Big Chief Go-Kart World.
I've never been to Big Chief Go-Kart.
Big Chief Go-Kart World is really sweet.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming because it A, has a racist mascot, and B, is go-karts.
It's true. Interestingly enough, there's no Native American theming in Big Chief Go-Kart World whatsoever. It's all Greek. Like, the roller coasters are like Zeus, and they have like the Hercules, and there's like there's one, I think, yeah, they have Medusa, and then the Hydra. Not a single Native American reference in the entire area, but it is called Big Chief Go-Kart World.
Well, I mean, that's better than like... Injun Joe's.
It's just odd.
Indian giver roller coaster.
It's still odd because there's nothing anywhere at any point ever made me believe that it had anything to do with like anything related
to
Americans.
It was probably like somewhere in the 1980s was bought out by a guy named like Aristotle Palapanopoulos, and he was like, no, all of these is Greek now.
Yeah, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying with Jurassic World, very nice, very short. They only have like five dinosaurs in there.
Do they at least play the song?
Yeah, well, when you walk in through the gates, but the problem is like the gates say Jurassic World, and I'm like, no, this should say Jurassic Park.
Well, they only need to say Jurassic Park if you have the old man. Welcome to Jurassic Park. That's a great ride.
But I had one of those because probably our listeners may or may not be aware of the infamous Google memo that went out this week. Did you hear about the Google memo?
Yeah, the guy who was like on tilt about women who exist in the world.
Well, yeah. The thing is like his letter made some sense. But this is the this is the thing. Is like everyone's always talking about STEM degrees. STEM degrees are so important to have. You know what? This is why you need an English major so you know how to write where you don't sound like a fucking asshole, right wing, super red pill asshole.
I don't know. From what I read, it just seemed like everyone involved was wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean, this is why you need a humanities degree. But anyway, I had a moment like that when I was in the Jurassic Park ride, or the walkthrough thing, because they put you, shuffle you into this room and you're on this boat, and they have like Jurassic Park's lead ranger come in,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very cute 22-year-old woman saying like, "I'm Jurassic World's lead ranger," and I went, "There's no way to hell she's Jurassic World's lead ranger," and I'm sitting there next to my daughter at the same time going like, I shouldn't be having these thoughts. This is what's wrong with America nowadays.
She's too young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's like, no, you need like Robert Muldoon up there. They go like, right.
Or Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall or Laura Dern.
I don't believe anyone who's young in any position of authority, regardless of gender.
Okay.
It's just like you're not a head scientist.
See,
get the fuck out of here, kid.
This is why you're more progressive than I am. Because like my head, it's like, nah. It's like, I have to stop and like choke myself and be like, no, Joe, no,
it's
don't
actually,
think like this.
It's actually not necessarily progressive. It's just my absolute disdain for humanity.
That's true.
And that's really something I was thinking about the other day, because I was like, I see a lot of like super turbo liberal views and like super turbo conservative views, and I hate them all. Like they just all infuriate me. And for things like this diversity memo, all of these things are built on a predilection or belief that people are better or worse at certain things, but the actual cold truth is most people are equally as good at things, which is pretty shitty.
Yeah,
like
which
overall.
Is, they're all just shitty.
People are generally shitty, and they're completely interchangeable. So, yes, when an affirmative action program hires some dude who's, like, from Guam or whatever, because they're like, we need a brown man to meet our quota to get our tax bonus, and some guy's overlooked, and he's like, oh, that guy got the job because he was brown. Yeah, maybe he kind of did. But you didn't get the job because you were not white, and it has nothing to do with qualifications, because qualifications don't fucking matter. Because if the job is pushing a red button, anyone can push the red button. You just need a finger, and if you don't have a finger, you could use a dialing wand. So that and that's the thing. Like, all these people having these, like, these arguments about, like, oh, racism, blah blah blah. And it's like, and at the end of the day, none of it fucking matters, because you all could do it. All of you could do it. Every one of you could do a fucking toilet main job, because all you got to do is put the fucking screws where they're supposed to be. Like,
however,
anyone
Steve,
can do it.
Could you be the lead ranger at Jurassic World?
Yes, I could.
I don't see.
I need a longer beard, but yes.
Well, Muldoon didn't have a long beard. No, you need shorter shorts
yes,
to be the lead ranger.
That's true. My shorts go over my knees, so that's not gonna. You know what I could do? I could roll my shorts up. That would be ideal.
You know what? Speaking of Laura Dern, we mentioned her. You haven't been watching Twin Peaks. You're gonna binge it at the end. Probably,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna watch the whole thing. I'm gonna watch the last season of the show on Netflix, and then I'm gonna smash through the new.
You should
season.
Just watch the first season, because it's only like 6 episodes, so that way you can make sure you get through the whole thing. The first season is literally only, I think, 8 episodes.
What, on Showtime?
Yeah, no, the first season of Twin Peaks.
Oh no, I've already watched that. I'm going to watch the last like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
So I'll be like running right into although I haven't seen the movie Fire Walk With Me, I've heard it's not really relevant.
Actually it is a little bit.
Okay.
It's been getting more and more relevant. More and more
I
relevant.
See. So then I'll have to watch that after
I think watching Fire Walk With Me is all you maybe the last episode of Twin Peaks
and then
Fire Walk With Me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you could probably
I just want a little refresher.
But anyway, Laura Dern's on there, and I was texting Kevin, who the guy I do comic book logic with, and we were talking back and forth, and he goes, "How big do you think Laura Dern's feet are?" And I said, "Wait a second." And all I had to do was type in Laura Dern feet size, and it popped up immediately.
How big? Does she have huge feet?
Well, it says she has a 9.5.
That's not that big.
No.
That's like a regular kind of size foot.
She's a liar. She definitely wears a woman's 11.
That's still not gigantic either.
That's about my foot size.
You know who has gigantic feet? Uma Thurman.
Yeah, she has very large.
She has huge feet.
Yeah. But that's the thing that I love about, like, I don't get it. I'm not a foot fetishist, but man, they are the most organized sexual fetish on the internet.
Oh yeah, they've got that shit catalog.
They got that catalog. They got a down pat. You can
in the Rolodex.
It is insane. Like, there's no
like
other.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, just your. He's just like rifling through.
There
right
is
here.
Not a single sexual fetish on the internet. I would put money that there's no one more organized than foot fetishes on the internet.
Probably not. I think it's because it's something that's so easy to catalog.
It's numerical.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like that's.
And you can assess value based on your personal desires for feet. So if you're someone who's into tiny feet, you could be like, eh, if it's over a 7, we're done.
Princess tiny feet.
Yeah. I've got to take my medicine, my no molestal. Princess tiny feet. No, you make me feel so good.
But
just tiny feet left me.
But if you, that's the thing though, is like, and there's other things too, like on like you go to those foot sites, they have like rating systems on feet. So like, you know, depending on like certain people have higher.
Yeah. It's true. There is a rating site for poop.
There is.
And I believe it's called ratemypoo.com.
Yeah, it is. It's based off the same system as Cool Mini or Not. There you go, people.
And Hot or Not.
Yeah.
Good
well,
stuff.
That's how did Cool Mini or Not get away with that in that age that they didn't get sued by Hot or Not?
Probably because I don't think it's close enough. I think saying something or not is not close. Like if they said Hot Mini or Not, then maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
But because they went cool, which is the opposite of hot.
Yes.
They had no legs to stand on
in
that case.
Legalese is a weird thing.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, you're not going to be able to get any money from Games Workshop by suing them for $62 million.
Oh god, that's what
that dude's deranged.
He
was caught counterfeiting models and like a bunch of other shit. Like, yeah, he's actually deranged.
He's from Florida too, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course he's from Florida.
Florida, America's Wang.
Hey, you know what? Having been in Florida for longer than a few days, I can tell you it's the heat. It's the humidity.
Yeah, it drives
the heat
you crazy.
Just fucking.
That's why every.
Cooks them.
Yeah. I mean.
It's like I was in Disney and I had a good time. minus a couple, one day was unbearable, but overall I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, but Disney does everything possible to make sure that your time there is excellent.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's like, what I'm, that's exactly the segue, because it's like, I can't imagine being here like, as like a day-to-day citizen? Good God.
No. If a day-to-day citizen, I'd have to live in like the Cuban quarter of Miami, where you're just wearing like those Hawaiian shirts and like cabana shorts.
And just a Speedo.
Yeah, well, like a Speedo and maybe like a straw hat, just sitting out there drinking a mojito.
And drinking and eating Cubanos.
Yeah. And just going, it is hot out today.
Just grease all over you.
When is my speedboat full of drugs coming in?
Man, I wish I had a speedboat full of drugs. That'd be sick.
But yeah, so that's, I guess like that's the big news, good transition, is that a man from Florida is suing Games Workshop for $62.5 million. Like, this has obviously is a slow gaming news week, because this made this got people's attention.
It was everywhere.
It was. Well, it's because
people immediately saw someone suing Games Workshop, so they were like, oh, he has grounds. He's going to do damage to Workshop.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
Well, yeah, because he's suing, like, if you look at, like, he's suing them for, like, there's criminal charges that he once brought against, including RICO charges.
Mm-hmm.
Which we all know from the Batman The Dark Knight, or just The Dark Knight, that a RICO charge, you just say, RICO, and everyone gets arrested. So
that's right.
He's going to plan on arresting all of Games Workshop.
That's right.
Because he thinks that there's...
They're racketeering. And they're money laundering.
It's just like a long list of complaints.
They're selling toys, sir. Yeah. Like, you're not going to...
Like,
yeah,
their
really
markup
gonna...
is an unbelievable, like, 2,000%. Yeah, we all kind of know.
Like, why don't you see what Diamond's markup is, good sir?
Well, it's not even that, but it's like, look at all the other intellectual things that go into a designing a model, packaging a model, marketing a, not that they do that much marketing, but still, marketing a model.
It doesn't even matter if the markup is reasonable. It's a luxury item.
Yeah.
It's not a good commodity that you need to live. Like, one's going to die without Space Marines. And in America, they can charge you too much for things that you will die without.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to get away with fucking getting someone to budge on toys?
You need an EpiPen?
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you about this, sir.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this is a toy. It will not kill you if you don't have it. My markup is 5,000%. This is life-saving medicine. You will die if you don't have it. My markup is 50,000%.
And that guy went to jail, not because he was upcharging on EpiPen or medicine, but because
he defrauded rich people. That's right. Don't take rich people's money.
Oh.
Fucking the poor is okay. Don't take rich people's money.
Yes.
Those are the rules.
Yes. So this guy is... It will be hilarious to follow this. I'm going to follow this with bated breath. I'm going to create a Pinterest page just for this guy's lawsuit so
Hell
I can
yeah.
follow it.
Hell yeah. Do a Twitter. Do a Games Workshop lawsuit Twitter.
Games...
tweet out random updates that you've made up about the Games Workshop lawsuit. Like breaking Tom Kirby found with three hookers in garage.
Not linked to lawsuit.
Yes. Just throw out like random bullshit updates about the lawsuit that have nothing to do with the lawsuit. You ever seen the movie Primer?
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's all right.
It's weird.
It takes itself way too seriously.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it was all right.
It's all right. Yeah. It's one of my things with time travel movies where I'm like, they got this wrong.
No, wait. Never mind. They covered all the paradoxes in that one.
They
covered them. They covered them. They covered their asses. With the way they do time travel in that movie, they covered their possible paradoxes. Because they don't outright explain everything, but when you go and look and see it, it's like, oh, okay. Because like a lot of the originals are deleted.
I'm just going to say like I had issues with it. It's actually not a bad movie. It's actually a very good movie. But
I liked it. Yeah. I also believe that the odds of having like so if you go the full time paradox thing, just on causality. The farther away you get from something is the more likely you're going to have a huge impact.
Yeah.
And they're only traveling within the span of like a couple days. Highest travel in the movie, I think, is 3 days. There's no way you're going to create any sort of reality warping paradox within 3 days. That's just not possible.
Well, no. Do you remember it's old book?
Even then, it's 3 days.
Old book called Barry Ween, Boy Genius.
No.
You don't remember this?
Oh, wait. Yes. Barry Ween. It was a webcomic, right?
Yeah. It was, yeah, well, yeah, yeah. It was like, I don't know if it was a webcomic, but I know they collected them into trades, which yes. is where I read it. He had a great thing where he talked about time paradoxes. He and his buddy traveled to the Old West, and he's like, and he like Barry Wean pulls out this gun, and his buddy's like, dude, aren't you afraid that if you kill this people, that it's going to cause some like giant paradox?
Because it can't happen, yeah, well, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that he go, but he goes. Look, a lot of people really overvalue their existing, overvalue how important they are in society. I could kill this entire town and it wouldn't make a lick of difference.
Right, exactly. And there's also the other factor of, like, you can go by the other, if you're in the past, if you're somehow able to travel to the past, there's the belief that no matter what you do is already accounted for, so you can't actually change anything because it's already happened the way you go back in time and you, assassinate, like, Bill Jablonski, because Bill Jablonski was the actual, like, the linchpin to this, to that, to that, to that. And it doesn't matter, because in the future you lived in already, Bill Jablonski was already dead because you killed him. Like, that already happened. The future has accounted for everything.
The future has accounted for everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, but you could go to the future and do shit.
Yeah. This is why time travel bugs me. I just, like, have to sit back and enjoy it.
It's completely fictional. Yeah. It's a completely fictional concept. There's no way, like... There's just no way. Like, the only thing you could...
Steve, we are all traveling through time. Yeah, one second at a time.
Time and space, whatever. I mean, there's the guy who did literally travel in time by going in space. I think he accelerated, like, 4 seconds, I think. So, there you go. We have invented time travel, people. You can go 4 seconds into the future. Doc, we gotta get up to 88 miles an hour.
Marty, we're gonna be dead before we get there.
So I wanted to talk about some.
My fucking doc sounded like a drunk old man, a fat drunk old man.
Marty,
John Goodman.
No, yeah. It's like you're trying to do Rick.
Well, I mean that Rick and Morty was a Back to the Future parody. So
I don't know, Steve. We're gonna go back. Anyway, I wanted to bring up some Kickstarter stuff. Star Realms: The Frontiers, going to be ending very, very soon. Actually, probably before this podcast goes up.
It'd be cool if a game that was, like, successful and longstanding as Star Realms just actually funded their own games, mm-hmm. Instead of just continually going back to that fucking well of Kickstarter.
This is another one that's going to end before we go up. But I feel bad that I don't talk about it. Redbox Games put up another Kickstarter for Warbands of the Cold North 5, which is all, like, dwarf stuff. And Redbox Games just is so good.
Yeah, they are.
It's, like, what the Lord of the Rings line for Games Workshop should have been. I guess, like, if they had that level of sculpting on them.
Yeah, but I mean, they're a lot newer than Lord of the Rings models.
It's true.
The new Forge World Lord of the Rings models are fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, these are comparable and cheaper than the Forge World ones. And I wanted to talk about the probably the worst Kickstarter I have ever seen from Cool Mini or Not, which is the A Song of Ice and Fire minigame. Now, Steve said it was dead on arrival already, before that game even debuted. Mm-hmm.
Said it would be DOA.
Yeah, no one's going to be playing it by the time that the game actually hits the stores. Everybody who wants it is going to have it from the Kickstarter anyway.
Those haven't been in there long enough.
I'm just testing something.
And it's going to the game, no one's going to be playing it. It's a miniatures game, so they're going to be selling box units of it, and like when all the expansions are coming out, no one's going to buy them because no one's going to be playing the game. It's a vicious cycle because the box units won't be available at release. People are going to want the box units. Stores are not going to carry it because they're not going to be able to sell the core game. So it's going to be a whole major mess and whatever. But the game has yet to break. It's got 6 days left. It has yet to break a million. It's close. This might be one of the lowest performing Cool Mini or Not Kickstarters in a long time.
I think Chaos Ball was pretty bad.
Well, it's a sports ball game.
It was like a shitty looking one too.
Yeah, and the other thing on top of it is it's not licensed. This is licensed. So this is a licensed game with mini sculpted by a third party by a third party. So it's a third party game with a third party sculptor working on it as well. It's not even going to break a million. The stretch goals are terrible. Like for 150 bones, I was expecting this game to like, you know, really up the ante. For 150 bucks.
I mean, for example, Rising Sun closed with 4.2 million.
Yeah.
Well, this one hasn't even broken a million yet.
Yeah. And Rising Sun also had a shit ton of miniatures with it. And they weren't, like really unique. Like, a lot of them were, you know, multiple copies of the same sculpt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this doesn't even give you that. For 125 million, the Zombicide Black Plague, or Green Tide, just closed. And what did that close at? Like $10 million? Some ridiculous.
It was a lot. Let me see if I can take a look at the ones they've created here. I think it has. I'll have all the record. Okay. So here are all of the. We can actually hit up all of their Kickstarters. They have 26 Kickstarters.
Well, let's just go through the last couple because, right. like.
So yeah. Song of Ice and Fire is currently at.
I think it was
963,000.
I was like a 9.3 last time I checked, which was yesterday, I think. And let's be fair. Most Kickstarter business is either done at the very beginning of a Kickstarter or the very end of a Kickstarter. However, I don't think this one is going to break two. Yeah. This one will break one for sure, but I don't think it'll break two.
Zombicide, Green Horde.
Green Horde.
Which was their last one.
That's the one I pledged on.
$5 million.
$5 million. Which is pretty, I think it was their highest one previous.
And then you have, let's see. The one before that was, I believe that was Rising Sun. Yep, that was Rising Sun before that, which I said was $4.6 million.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's a shitty sounding one. The World of Smog, Rise of Moloch.
That's also a third party one. That's not a cool mini original.
Random bullshit steampunk game.
Yeah, the miniatures I think are 54.
They're big. 1.174 million.
Yeah.
So still very successful. Massive Darkness, which I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Probably a card game, it sounds like.
They have so many fucking games, dude. It's impossible to keep track. And they most cool mini games are shovelware. 3.5 million on Massive Darkness. So yeah, it's not even coming. Like, those are the most recent ones. Like,
yeah.
It's nothing compared to those. Like, I think Rum and Bones probably is going to beat it. And like, Rum and Bones, come on.
A miniature MOBA game? What's the point of that?
With a pirate theme.
Yarr! It's not a mini circle.
No. It looks like it beat Rum and Bones. Rum and Bones only made 917,000.
Oh.
So.
It was that second wave?
That's second tide.
Oh, second tide.
That's not
tide.
The original Rum and Bones. So I'd have to like dig down to find the original one.
It's nautical. It's literally the second wave. Why don't they call it second wave? Wave is more nautical. I mean, tide is fine, but I mean, like,
I mean, second tide is kind of the same thing. That's really nitpicky. It's very close to the same pun.
I don't know. I have a problem.
Very close to the same pun.
Okay, it's like the problem with now you see me and now you see me too, where it was not subtitled. Now you see me too. Now you don't.
Yes,
that bothered me so much.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that one for sure. Blood Rage also only made 905,000, okay, so and Blood Rage was fucking phenomenal.
Here's another one. So you know that movie Sing that came out not too long ago with all the animals singing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my daughter really liked the soundtrack, and I was listening to it, and my wife had seen the movie with her, and as I'm listening to it, they do this whole medley where they have all these animals singing, updated songs.
Okay.
So then Kiss by a Rose comes on.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, Kiss by a Rose.
Was it sung by a seal?
That was my question. Diana goes, no, I think it was sung by a pig or a sheep. I was like, why would you not have it sung by a seal?
That's unacceptable.
That's comic gold right there. Like, that should be it.
Well, that's why Sing was a shitty movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, aside from that, it made a shit ton of money, more money than we'll ever have.
I mean, so did the Emoji Movie. Doesn't mean it's good.
I don't know, Steve. That's 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's still not zero. The world loves the Emoji Movie. But yeah, so there's a Song of Ice and Fire. It's just like a massive blunder on their part. And I can't figure out why they're holding back so much with, especially the stretch goals. Is it because they just don't have them ready? Or is it because that they're losing money on this deal already and they know it's a sinking ship, so they're not even going to bother funding it? Like, that sort of thing.
No, I think they just expected it to, like, fucking crush.
Yeah.
I think they fully expected it to just, like, smash without any effort, because they're like, it says Game of Thrones and it says miniatures, bam, people are gonna buy it.
Well, first of all, it doesn't say Game of Thrones, it says Song of Ice and Fire.
That's actually kind of huge now that I think about it, because if it said Game of Thrones, like, I do believe that I am willing to bet that far more people than anyone expects does not know that A Song of Ice and Fire is a Game of Thrones.
It could very well be.
I bet that there's a lot of people who don't know that. Because I actually encountered someone, because I was like, oh, we got the Song of Ice and Fire role-playing game. And they were like, what the fuck is A Song of Ice and Fire? And I was like, Game of Thrones? And they're like, oh, I know Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones. And I'm like, yeah, it's cause it's called A Song of Ice and Fire. And he's like, I've never heard that.
People are fucking literally stupid.
But think about it. Have you ever seen A Song of Ice and Fire in any of the HBO related items or marketing?
No.
If you haven't specifically gone outside of the show to look at the books, you would have no idea that it's called A Song of Ice and Fire. There's nothing that tells you that.
Which is funny, because the actual show itself is called Game of Thrones, but the book is called A Game of Thrones.
Right.
So it's like, it's even more confusing. Yeah,
so there you go. So I'd be willing to bet that the visibility is not as high because it's not called Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And also, they're not going by...
I didn't even think of that until just now. No. There's a revelation.
It's a revelation. The revelation of Saint Steve.
Well, perfect example, the Game of Thrones card games, like all of the Game of Thrones games, anything Game of Thrones branded will outsell if it's HBO related or says Game of Thrones on it. If it doesn't, like I just said with the RPG, if it says Song of Ice and Fire, it doesn't sell as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The quality of the game, not relevant.
Well, I mean, like, look at the difference between the Song of Ice and Fire game that Fantasy Flight does, the card game that they have, and then they also did a TV show version of the game, which I've been told sold infinitely better.
Oh, the HBO one? Yeah. Well, it used stills from the TV show.
Yeah, so. That's what I'm saying. It's the same exact game, same exact cards, just stills from the TV show instead of hand-drawn art. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I think if they actually went into this... if they could have worked it out where they did the second edition of the card game with all stills from the TV show instead of art, I think they would have had a real big
Yeah, but the problem is like, what they wanted to do... with the card game and what they did do with the card game and what they did with the show is so completely different.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be viable. I mean, it could be. The Lord of the Rings card game from Decipher was fucking amazing, and that used all stills from just three movies.
Yeah.
Like, so content, not a problem.
Next thing I want to bring up that's not gaming related that you'll appreciate. So Screen Rant, you know Screen Rant website?
Vaguely. Like,
it's terrible.
I've heard of it, I think.
I mean, it used to be viable, but now it's just like clickbait for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
They used to actually have movie news. Now they just have, like, clickbait articles. They did one that said, it was an opinion piece saying, can we all finally admit that the Star Wars prequels are better than The Hobbit?
No.
And that's like, it's like, no. But now the Star Wars fanboys, the prequel apologists... who are having their resurgence now. They're just like Trump people. They're just the loudest.
It's really simple. You can just cut down any Star Wars fanboy with this. Tell me how many Best Director Oscars George Lucas has won.
Yeah.
Tell me how many, Joe. How many?
Or writing. Didn't he win writing?
He didn't win shit. Lucas won nothing.
No, I'm saying Peter Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Peter Jackson's won 7 Academy Awards. Motherfuckers got drowning in them. George Lucas has got nothing. His special effects crew got a bunch. George Lucas has dick. Yeah.
Sound designer Ben Burt.
Oh, that's good. And the Academy even recognized it when they gave Peter Jackson the Best Director's Oscar, something that your hero, George Toyboy Lucas, has never and will never win.
But anyway, yeah, they wrote this.
It's fucking true.
And so I said, like, I said, I'm going to give this the benefit of the doubt. I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch the Hobbit movies because I've seen the prequels enough to know that they're terrible. Like, those are just terrible movies. They're terribly directed, terribly written, terribly acted.
They actually get worse over time.
Yes.
But they're starting to become the room for me.
That's because the prequel apologists are getting to you. It's the same people that got Trump
elected. Oh, no, they're still fucking garbage.
No. They're getting to you.
How are they getting to me? The movie's garbage. No, I will tell them that the movie is shit.
Because even if it's shit, I refuse to watch them.
I don't own them. How would I watch them?
No, but I'm just saying, you could...
Yeah, I don't watch them. I mean, I'm talking about my record, like, thinking, like... I can fondly recall shitty parts of that movie and make fun of it in a pleasant manner. That's what I'm talking about. Well, the movie's garbage.
Well, I mean, like,
I believe you misunderstood me, sir. Because, I mean, there's things like sandwiches have bread, Anakin. Like, the memes are great.
What's the one from the translation?
A Pop-Tart is also a sandwich.
What's from the translation?
Do not want.
Do not want.
Do not want.
That's old.
Yeah, that's super old
meme.
Do not want. That was the translation for just no. It's do not want. Pop-Tarts are also a sandwich. That's one of my favorites.
But yeah, so I went back and I rewatched the Hobbit movies, all three of them.
They're great.
And I watched the extended editions. Those are far better than people give them credit for.
They are.
I think, like a lot of people, and I was reading up on some of the critics.
People just wanted to watch Lord of the Rings again, and they should have.
Well, I read the critics and what a lot of the critics were saying, especially like fanboy critics, because those are the people that I was really interested in seeing the hate. Because actually, most critics, I think they're a little unfair to those movies, and at least in terms, like, because like, oh, they're bloated and blah blah blah. I'm like,
critics are unfair to any movie that isn't a fucking period piece with Leonardo DiCaprio like fucking blowing some chimney sweep, like. Critics' opinions on almost everything are fucking worthless.
Well, you're wrong there, but
they're all about fucking like critic bait. That's all
no,
they. That's all they
not.
Are. Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
They're the worst.
No.
They have no value to society, and they should be rounded up and executed.
Nice. But anyway, so I read the Nerdboy fanboys, and like a lot of them, you know what a lot of them were complaining about? These movies deviate so much from the Tolkien lore. I'm like, did you watch Lord of the Rings? Those movies deviated really bad from the Tolkien
also,
lore.
Also, they like forgot parts of the book where like the book is like no. Those critics.
Oh yeah,
where the books like
the nerd. These aren't real critics. These are fanboys.
Okay, so those nerd fanboys forgot things like where in The Hobbit he's like, yeah, it pretty much happened this way, at least as much as he remembers it, etc., etc. And they do that several times because The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings are recounted stories. So Tolkien's idea always was that people would add on, embellish, and change.
And that's what I was going to get into in a little bit.
His mythos.
But that's what I was going to get into. How come, because Lovecraft... People just took the Lovecraft mythos and just ran with it. The Cthulhu.
Oh, you
want to
know why they didn't do it with Tolkien?
Yeah.
Why did they do Lovecraft is in the public domain. Tolkien's is not. Simple. It's a super simple, super fast answer. Tolkien's is not in the public domain. H.P. Lovecraft is.
Yeah, I would normally agree with you, but they can, like, people could have written in there, and like Christopher Tolkien could have done anthologies and stuff like that. They could have done it and made money off of
it. He could, but they're super protective of their IP.
They are super duper protective of the IP. Because I was like, I was reading up on some of this stuff, and I was like, he had a lot of unfinished stuff and like big gaps in the mythology of Lord of the Rings. Huge gaps.
Yeah, they don't want to let anyone else into that pot.
Yeah, they did not let anybody else into that pot. Which they can, because all you have to do is like saying like, I'm going to be doing an anthology of stories that, you know, take place in this universe. They should be written in, and they can be written in your style, but you know, we're going to have, you know, some sort of creative control over like any sort of major changes to the mythos that you want to do or anything like that. It's done. It's been done before with other series and other things like that. But they just never did
that.
Yeah,
I mean, your options for that are going to be other media, like just not books. Like you have
thanks to Mickey Mouse, we're never going to have that book in the public domain.
That's true. You have Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War.
Shadow of War's
coming up.
Yeah, but it's not out yet. What is it? September? October?
Soon.
I think it's October.
You have those games. Those are those are adding to the mythos. The movies as well.
But the
movies made like the movies have legit made some like solid improvements on the story.
Oh,
like Elrond giving Aragorn Elendil Flame of the West the way he did it in the fucking movie was way cooler than they did in the book. In the book, they're just like, yeah, here's your super sword. immediately, like, here you go.
And then they, like, in the movie, he's like, you know, reforge the flame, and he, like, whips out the sword, and everyone's like,
yeah, it's that's so what he says. Good. He's, Elendil, Flame of the West, reforge from the shards of Narsil. And, you know, it's
my favorite part of that scene is that the two guards who are sitting in Aragorn's tent have the largest helmets you've ever seen. Like, there's these Rohan guys with these huge horse helmets.
Sweet-ass horse helmets.
And it's just like, you're watching it.
Don't disrespect their sweet-ass horse helmets.
And the second you realize that these two assholes are sitting there with these giant helmets on, and like, they're just standing there. You're just like, what the hell's going on?
Those helmets are dank. How dare you?
They're ridiculously large.
Fucking awesome.
Wait, hold on a second. October 10th is the release date of Shadows of War. But yeah, that's like with all the stuff with Celebrimbor, that's all fucking fantastic.
I'm telling you, dude, it's public domain. That's the reason so many people do so much Lovecraft shit, because it's a great setting. It's super diverse, and nobody has any legal rights to any of it. But that's the interesting thing, because now there's people who have, like, you can't call your role-playing game the Call of Cthulhu. Because Chaosium owns the role-playing game license for the Call of Cthulhu, because they've copyrighted that, which is weird. But you could make a role-playing game called the Cthulhu Mythos.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't do anything about that.
There's a shit ton of them. Cthulhu Tech and...
Cthulhu Tech, yep.
Yeah, you know, Dark Age Cthulhu. Well, sure. I actually think that's Chaosium. But, I mean, there's, like, a shit ton of Cthulhu games.
And there's, like, a Cthulhu...
And they're all terrible.
And there's a Cthulhu spinoff of fucking everything.
Yeah. However, Call of Cthulhu is a very good game.
Yeah, Call of Cthulhu is a sweet game.
It's a fantastic...
It's a good RPG.
Yeah. Especially if you want TPK. If you want to do TPK, Call of Cthulhu
is
the game for you.
If you want to do a fun TPK.
Yeah, that's
That's what it is.
Not rocks falling. It's more
it's a very fun TPK.
You've all lost your minds.
Yeah, like you've watched the music video for the song Die by Fantasy.
I don't know.
Fantasy by Die.
I don't know that one.
It's good. It's good. It's D-Y-E Fantasy. You should watch it. Don't watch it at work. You'll be fired.
There's on the new Twin Peaks, episode 8 is the most amazing thing ever put to cinema.
All right,
and
I'm
you
down.
Will either love it or you will hate it.
I'll probably love it. I love David Lynch shit.
It's David Lynch turned up the highest David Lynch level possible.
Oh my
god. It's like when you're sitting there going like, there's no way possible we could get any more David Lynch than Mulholland Drive. And they're like, no.
Mulholland Drive was only the beginning.
It's like the things are like glowing and radiating.
We've got to get these up to 88 Lynchians.
Steve, you're gonna love this episode.
David Lynch. I love that he yells. Like, oh, he can't talk. Gordon? He can't speak. He just yells.
Steve, you're gonna love this episode. Yeah.
David Lynch is awesome.
He's fucking crazy.
He's a weird dude. I met him. He's as weird as you think. Like, he's a weird guy.
Oh, you met him? When'd you meet him?
I met him at a film festival thing that my dad was at. Him, Emo Phillips, and... I don't remember who the third guy was.
I would just be like, I would be like, David Lynch, do you want to ride a horse with me? Yes, I would like to ride a horse with you. And me and him riding on a horse together, like, just like, I don't care who's in front, who's in back, but I just want to ride a horse with David Lynch.
Dude was really, really looking for an eclair.
Does anybody have an eclair?
It was odd. It's just like, he's like, they got donuts, they don't have eclairs.
I'll take a Boston cream if you have one. It's close enough.
Emo Phillips is pretty funny, too.
Was he funny, Steve?
Yeah, he was a weird dude.
I bet he doesn't talk like this in real life.
He continued to talk like that the entirety of speaking to anyone.
Well, I wonder if it's like, if he does that character like Gilbert Gottfried, you know, where he, like...
Yeah, I believe he does it just like, you know, what's his name? The guy Jim Carrey played in the Man in the Moon movie.
Andy Kaufman?
Yeah, where, like, he was always on.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're like that, too. They're method comedians. Like, they're always, like, just on. Like, that's their thing.
Emo Phillips. I never found his shit funny.
I the only thing I knew him from was UHF.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea who the guy was. Where just like,
what, did he cut off his fingers?
Yeah, and he's, like bleeding. He's like, you should probably go to the hospital. He's like, you can pay me to get into the hospital. He's spraying blood everywhere. It's fucking funny. I loved him in UHF. I had no idea. I've never seen anything. I still have never seen anything else he's ever done other than UHF. But you know what? His performance in UHF was fantastic, so I'll take it. just like fucking Kramer, Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse. That's why I'm up.
You found the marble in the pool full of oatmeal. You get to drink from
the fire hose.
Everyone goes nuts.
But the fucking blast the kid.
Here's the thing.
That movie's so weird. I love
that
it.
That movie predicted, like, 30 years ahead of time,
what actually television would be?
No, what we'd want out of Adult Swim and what Adult Swim finally gave us.
Oh, sure.
Like, that level of just non sequitur weirdness is what
sure.
we wanted.
Did it? Was it what we wanted, or did it just correctly predict what people
would want?
Because UHF was a fucking bomb. Did terrible. Yeah, and it slowly got bigger and bigger.
But the reason why it was a bomb is that it opened up in the summer of 1989, which was the most jam-packed per dollar movie summer of all time. 1989, you had Batman, Lethal Weapon 2, Ghostbusters 2. Batman was just coming off. It was just coming off the bat. Like, Batman opened up in December, I think, and it was still running.
I fucking love that movie.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, UHF, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It was just jam-packed. Like, these were Fatal Attraction came out that summer. These were movies that just, like, made.
So it's the Hollywood movie studio equivalent of 1995 for the Super Nintendo.
I will take your word for that.
Everything, like, almost universally, when someone says, like, a game, like, from Super Nintendo, like, oh, I love that game. It came out in 95.
Pilot Wings didn't.
nobody cares about Pilot Wings.
I love Pilot Wings.
You and Pat and your Pilot Wings obsession.
I actually finally got Pat a Super Scope.
Nice.
Out of all of his collection. I was at the Kane County Flea Market, which I love, but is also super racist and awful.
Perfect.
Yeah. But they had one of the guys there was selling inbox a Super Scope, like, in beautiful condition. It just didn't have one of the cords. And so I was like, Pat, you want this? And he's like, the guy wants $30 for it. And Pat was like, buy it! Well, the funny thing was that I texted Pat with pictures of the stuff, because he also had an inbox Rob the Robot.
Oh, that's sweet.
But just Rob the Robot, not the actual Nintendo set that came with Rob the Robot. It was just Rob the Robot which I think was probably a better find, because you'd never see that.
Yeah.
And it had the original Woolworths receipt on it.
Some of that shit is going for, like, wild money. Like, did you see the sealed Super Mario Brothers went for, like, 30 grand?
Yeah, something stupid like that.
And there was no joke, nothing about that game other than the fact that it was a mint condition, new in box, was special.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, a mint condition new in box Super Mario Brothers, that's very unique, because almost every copy of that game ever has been fucking opened and beat to shit. So that's impressive. But, like, that, like, I couldn't believe, like, I figured, like, that's something where I'm like, maybe it'll be, like, $5,000. And I thought that was, like, being stupid. I thought, like, maybe it'll be $5,000 if that guy gets lucky. Turns out I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, well, they wanted $350 for Rob the Robot, and Pat was, and I knew Pat wouldn't go for that. But I texted Pat, and I was like, I texted him pictures, and then I called him. And then I texted his wife and I said, make your idiot husband pick up his phone, please. So finally, like, as soon as I texted her, he called me and he's like, oh, I just, you know, Michelle just told me. And I was like, do you want this? It's $30. And he's like, yeah. So finally, it's like, I've been begging him to get a Super Scope because I want to get that set up so I can play with it.
Dude, you gotta play.
And I don't want to set it up at my house because I don't have a CRT TV.
Metal Combat. I think it's called Metal Combat.
I don't give a shit.
No.
I just want to play.
You gotta play Metal Combat.
I want to play with the damn laser gun bazooka.
You gotta play Metal Combat because Metal Combat, one of you can control. Like, Metal Combat's a game where the person with the gun is playing as a mech pilot, or you're playing as a mech gunner. There's like a dude who's like flying the mech for you.
Yeah.
And you fight in first person view against other enemy mechs. They like throw attacks at you and shit. But I know for a fact the second one, Something's Revenge, has this mode. I don't know if the first one does. It has a versus mode. Ooh. Where one player uses the Super Nintendo controller and controls the robot on the screen and plays against the person using the Super Scope. It was like by far one of my fondest memories playing Super Nintendo ever was that at a party, just fucking passing around the Super Scope and the controller and people fucking squaring off because there was now, different robots.
The Super Scope actually has
it's
the buttons.
A giant bazooka.
But it has buttons on it, right?
Yeah. So it's a.
You could speed run like Super Mario World with the Super Scope.
No, it just has one big button. So it has because the way it works is it's shaped like a bazooka. There's a button on the handle that's like a trigger that's usually for like bombs or supers, and then there's a big giant button that you hit with your right hand
with
your finger. There's one giant
button.
You
can switch it because the scope goes both sides,
but there's no directions, like there's no directionals on it, so you can't
speed run a game.
You can't do anything with it.
That sucks.
But you can definitely play the fuck out of like Yoshi Safari and like
all those guys
the games, the Super Nintendo games. That's the thing, Super Nintendo games are great,
like the
they're really good,
like the guy who beat like Dark Souls using the bongos from
the Donkey Kong bongos. Fuck yeah, you did. The fucking jam.
Anyway, I don't remember if there's anything else I really wanted to talk about. You have something. You have the ICB too.
Yeah, I have the numbers, the gaming numbers. We've done it every year.
Gaming
I'm pretty
numbers.
Sure.
Oh, that's good. That'll lead us out of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've done this every year. So like, I don't want to break tradition.
We didn't suck GW's dick this episode.
Yeah,
so.
We did. We were defending them against that guy who's suing them.
Yeah, but I mean that's different. I mean, like, I would defend most people against this stupid lawsuit.
All right, so. The game market continues to grow at a ridiculous rate, so I'm looking forward to this bursting, I don't know, at some point next year, and then I'll be out of a job.
Okay.
And then I'll be homeless. So to give you an idea of the kind of size we're talking here is collectible games, so Magic, etc., were $450 million in 2013. In 2016, there's $750 million.
Woo!
So almost fucking doubled. So that's ridiculously huge.
Number one game, of course, is Magic again.
Let's go over that and see. Why don't we? All right. This is like the in-depth coverage of like, all these things. Where's my fucking page?
I actually look forward to Gen Con. I'm going to try out Gen Con's coming up after next podcast, so I'll get my review of Gen Con.
I'll get it at Gen Con.
But one of the things I want to really review is I want to review the Godfather game. Because it's got heat behind it. It's supposedly good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
I don't know, those... we talked about the thing, they sometimes look really dumb, but they're perfect for the flavor of what you're looking for from that game, so...
Yeah, I mean... I don't think it looks dumb. I think it looks okay. It's just like
Spartacus.
Yeah, it's like it'll probably be fine. I don't know. I am actually getting I don't even play that many games, and I'm getting burnt out on the amount of games that are coming out. and it's not even bad games. Like there's people like they're dumb. Like I would say at this point, things that would normally take the slot of shovelware are actually decent games, but they become shovelware because
there's so many games.
Yeah, it's just too many. There's just way too fucking many.
Well, eventually, as you said, the bubble will burst, and then no games will come out, and you'll be able to go back and play these games, and you'll be like, this game's amazing! Joe, you ever played Spartacus, Blood in the Sands? The game's amazing. Like, yes, yes, I have.
Exactly. That'll cover it up.
Yeah.
The fuck is this list? Can't fucking find it. First Strike, Hasbro comic book event.
What?
It's a Hasbro comic book event. It's got a, it's a bi-weekly 6-issue series that has the crossover between G.I. Joe, Transformers, ROM, Micronauts,
the Space Knight,
and Mask.
Use your illusion.
No.
The power of illusion.
No, Mask is the Secret Rangers working overtime, fighting crime. They're the ones with the transform.
Yeah. Oh. But it was called Mask, the power of illusion.
Really? I thought that was illusion. Visionaries is harness the power of light.
Yeah.
Visionaries, they harness the power of light.
The worst. Like, this someone came up with terrible. That jingle just like, we got to go, we got to get food.
All right. So here we go. Here's the top games. We'll go with overall, because I don't want to. They do a split between the Hobby Channel and the Mass Channel. The Hobby Channel is always Magic number one, and the Mass Channel is always Pokemon number one. Straight up, that's shocker. It's the same. So overall on collectible games, which make up 75% of the board game or of the tabletop gaming market. So again, like I've said, no matter what your favorite game is, if it's not a collectible card game. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Number one, Magic the Gathering. Number two, Pokemon TCG. Number three, Yu-Gi-Oh! TCG. Number four, Star Wars Destiny, the dice game, which has already cooled it off to a, I'd say, glacier level for most people.
Glacial.
It's been killed by the lack of availability for product for most people. And number five, Marvel and DC HeroClix. Those are your collectible games.
Clix?
Top 10.
That lot that I bought, I sold all of those clicks. I ended up selling I ended up the Mage Knight ones. 200 Mage Knights I made $100 off of. So
nice.
Not bad.
And it's a good deal for that guy because $2 a figure.
No, 50 cents a figure. It's 200 figures for $100.
Oh. I swapped those numbers around in my head.
Oh, no. If it was $2 a figure, that would be great. But.
Yeah. Very good. So,
by the way, I just had like a giant box and I just dumped all the figures into it and shipped it that way.
Fuck yeah.
So the guy's gonna open it up and just like this huge box.
That dude's gonna be excited as shit.
He would be.
All right. Top 10 Hobby Channel board games. Number one, Scythe. Number two.
Still hot.
Yeah, even though you can't find it anywhere. Number two, Catan. Number three, Clank. Four.
Clank, really?
Yeah, Clank. Super popular game. People love Clank.
Really?
It's a really good game. If you haven't played it, you should.
I have not played that.
It's very good.
I don't get to play games.
Four, Jim Henson's Labyrinth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That has to just be fanboys.
It's sold out everywhere. I don't know. I can't tell you if the game's good
or not. Elysio did the... I think Elysio did it.
I have no idea. It's made by River Horse.
Yeah, that's Elysio.
So, Pandemic, Z-Man Games, Mansions of Madness, number six. Number seven, Terraforming Mars. Number eight, Ticket to Ride. Number nine, Carcassonne. Number 10, Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Not a lot of surprises.
Goes more to my point. There are not many surprises on this list.
Yeah.
Because new games aren't what's driving the market. It's more people buying old games.
Yeah. River Horse is Elysio's company. And that I'm just surprised on that Labyrinth game. It's just like...
It's number four.
I don't know. It just like a blipped on my radar.
Yeah. Top five non-collectible.
We're talking about the game. What game? The game with power.
Which power? The power to sell the fanboys. Yeah. Which boys? Fanboys.
Smelly fanboys.
Top five non-collectible miniatures games. Number one, X-Wing. Number two, Warhammer 40,000.
Ooh.
Number three, Dungeons and Dragons, Nolzer's Marvelous Minis.
Those
are the pre-primed.
Those are fucking fantastic
Very
figures.
Nice.
I can tell you I bought a ton of them because my daughter is getting into painting and I'm not going to give her any of my expensive ass minis. So I go to the local store, they cost $2. You get two figures. It costs $2.99. You get two figures in them. Why the fuck not?
They're also pre-primed, which is super nice.
Yeah. But I mean, most people aren't going to paint their figures.
But still, I mean... If you're not going to make figures, you just buy them.
They're fucking cheap, yeah. And they're nice sculpts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if you want, like...
Use deep cuts technology.
If you want some Knolls or something like that, you buy, like, two or three packs. It's going to cost you $10. You get all the Knolls you're going to need.
It's true.
Right there. It's fucking
all
perfect.
All the Knolls you'll ever need for your adventure.
Yeah. You only need 9, max.
Number four, Star Wars Armada. And number five, War Machine.
Ooh.
Hordes has fallen off the top five list. Top 10 hobby channel card slash dice games. Well, these are non-collectible.
Before we get to there, let me ask you this. How long before X-Wing is dethroned?
I think 2017 is going to be the year 40K takes it back.
You think it's going to take 40K is going to take it back?
Yeah, I think the launch has been from all of the retailer buzz.
Oh,
I guess
the launch is ridiculous.
Yeah, the launch has been very, very successful. So yeah. I think this is the year that it takes it back from X-Wing.
My favorite thing is the people getting so butthurt that the Primaris figures are just resculpts.
They're
of
cool.
Like, they're basically like. Oh, you have scouts, do you? Well, the Primaris have these guys.
They're just true scale Space Marines.
That's all it is.
They're a true scale Space Marine army that they released, so you can have your own true scale Space Marine army or mix it with your old Space Marines. It was the ideal solution to get people what they want and not have people be like, oh, they just want me to rebuy the same models. It's like, no, now they have different rules.
My favorite are the memes with the assault troops because they have their legs splayed out because they look like they're like jumping. They have them on swings being pushed by Marnie's Kalgar.
That's awesome.
Marnie's cool guy. Anyway, go on.
So, top 10 hobby channel card slash dice games. These are non-collectible boxed games. Arkham Horror, LCG, number one.
Nice.
Number two is Codenames. Number three, Smash Up. Number four, Sushi Go. Number five, Marvel Legendary. Number six, Rick and Morty from Cryptozoic.
Hey, Steve!
I can't do a Rick impression.
I don't know if that's Rick and Morty, whichever supposed one. It's probably... it's not Anatomy Park, so it's probably just Total Recall. Patchwork from Mayfair is number seven. Munchkin is number eight. The Perennial, always going to be on the top 10. Never number one, but will never go away from the top 10. Munchkin. Number nine.
Munchkin, always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Munchkin, or then we got number nine, Boss Monster. Number 10, Splendor from Asmodee.
I could tell a lot of those games are on that list because every fucking place sells them. I see Boss Monster at literally almost every store I go to.
Boss Monster is a really fun game. Boss Monster has everything you need to have a very successful game. It's a dirt cheap MSRP, great attractive art style, hits the nostalgia thing. The game is fast and easy to play, easy to learn, and decently fun. It's got everything you need to make a perennial game, just like Munchkin.
As much as I shit on Munchkin.
It has all of the things.
But as opposed to Munchkin, I see Boss Monster every Target, every...
Well, it's newer.
Yeah. You go to any bookstore, Boss Monster is right there at the counter.
Yeah, that's a great game. Yeah. It's really fun.
Anyway.
Role-playing games.
This is what I'm interested in.
I mean, come on. You know what's number one.
Well, I know what's number one, but I'm interested in what's the list.
Dungeons and Dagrons is number one.
Oh, the Dagrons.
Number two, Pathfinder.
Okay.
Number three, the Star Wars line from Fantasy Flight.
Okay.
Number four... Adventures in Middle-Earth.
Oh.
That's the 5th edition compatible Lord of the Rings role-playing game, which I have, and it's fucking phenomenal, and if you enjoy role-playing games and or the Lord of the Rings, you should buy it.
Interesting.
And then Shadowrun, number 5.
Okay. So they don't go all the way to 10 with those?
They don't. The lists that I have 5, so non-collectible miniatures games and the role-playing games, the things below 5 are so negligible.
Yeah,
they don't.
Well, I wanted to see if Tales from Equestria had made it on there, which is also another River
Horse
game.
This is 2016.
Game. Yeah,
that game came out this year, I'm pretty sure.
It did come out last year.
At least it might have been a Kickstarter in 2016, but I believe its mass distribution is 2017.
So Tales from Middle Earth came out last year.
Adventures in Middle Earth.
Yeah, Adventures in Middle Earth.
Yeah, I believe so.
Interesting. I thought that hadn't been released yet.
Yeah, this is fall 2016 numbers.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Tales from Equestria didn't come out, I think, till like May, June-ish. Yeah. It was after Adepticon.
So there you go.
It was after I broke my back.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. So those were seasonal. All of the games were spring except for role playing games, which was fall.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
That's not the whole year. No. The whole year they don't have for some reason. They usually do, but they didn't have the whole year in this one for some reason. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, our predictions, 40K will probably overtake X-Wing, which will probably be the biggest upset. I think Armada's on its way out, too.
Armada's
not selling anymore.
And just as a random thought, the number one graphic novel franchise is still Walking Dead.
Well, of course.
And the number one superhero franchise is still Batman.
Really?
Yeah, it's the thing that's never not been Batman, still Batman. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I like how The Walking Dead. We've talked about the fan base for The Walking Dead. It's all the fan base. It's all it is at this point.
Oh, he's just got a lot of fans.
I think even Robert Kirkman at this point, he's just like, fuck these people.
Well, it was only supposed to be 100 issues. Like, yeah. The whole story was supposed to be 100 issues. It was supposed to be completed at 100. Obviously, that's never going to happen, and we're never going to get the original story that it was supposed to be because he's had to stretch it out infinite.
Because he's got the moolah. It's like, cha-ching!
But that's the thing. He could still have told his fucking story. That's the thing. I feel that is creatively bankrupt because he could have still told the exact story he wanted to tell in 100 issues and just kept it going with new content at issue 101. There's nothing that would have prevented him from doing that.
No.
Other than his moral and creative bankruptcy.
And sleeping on a gigantic pile of money.
But he could have still... That argument doesn't work because he still could have the gigantic piles of money by continuing the story on episode 101. Because it's going to be like, what do you think I am? I'm the creator of The Walking Dead. You're going to like this shit too. I'm going to shovel it out on you.
I would love to agree with you, Steve, but it's probably like issue 100, Rick dies. And then they were probably... And so he's like, you can't kill Rick. And like,
you just kill Rick and you go to episode 101 and make it about Carl or fucking make it about Dildo Swaggins. Like,
whoa. I haven't been reading for a while there, but is there a character named Dildo Swaggins and how come I haven't been made aware of this?
Well, there was a character in Cross named Horsecock, but no Dildo Swaggins as far as I know.
There was a... God, I wish I could bring it up. I was looking at some really like weird Kickstarters today in prepping for the podcast. I was prepping. Barbarossa is on sale, by the way.
Interesting random note you have here. If you want the top 10 superhero franchises, number one is Batman. Number two is Star Wars, which I think is kind of dubious referring to it as a superhero franchise, but okay, sure, we'll give it to you. Three is Wolverine. Four is the X-Men. Five is Deadpool. Six is Spider-Man. Seven is Superman. Eight is the Avengers. Nine is the Justice League. And 10 is the Flash.
The Flash?
Yeah, which I like because I love the Flash.
Who doesn't love the Flash?
I don't know. Weirdos. Flash is great.
Well, it all depends. It really... Flash... The thing is with the Flash, as opposed to almost every other comic book out there,
he's got a great aesthetic, and his arch nemesis is a giant talking gorilla. That's fucking gold. you can't argue that.
It's one of his arch nemesis.
I mean, the only other one you could think of that's more of an arch nemesis than Grodd would be like Professor Zoom. Oh. But he's like, he's Reverse Flash. Like, he's like Bizarro.
Zoom and Reverse Flash are two different characters.
Sometimes. Sometimes, yes.
Just going through a quick rundown on it. Hidden Dreams Miniatures, they're doing alternate fantasy for Ninth Age stuff. They got some pretty nice stuff. They have a Kickstarter going on right now. Totally.
You're my hidden dream.
Yeah, but it's totally not worth the money. But the fun thing is go to that Kickstarter and read the bolt broken English that they obviously translated this page into.
Nice.
It's like, you buy model, I give you this. You know,
you buy model, I give you plastic glue.
I give you plastic glue. It comes with brush now.
Comes with borscht.
Reaper Bones, still with only 7 days in, has already made 1.1 mil. Reaper Bones 4.
Those bones, they just keep printing money.
Yeah. There's a guy named John McManus who's doing a halfling skeleton army.
That's the dumbest and coolest thing I've ever heard.
It's like, really, it's not actually a bad, like, four-year price Kickstarter.
It's the dumbest and coolest thing I've ever heard.
he's making it, at least in terms of Kings of War. So if you like Kings of War and you want a very unique, interesting army, this is the way to go. The models are not great, but it's still like halfling fit. It's skeleton. Okay. And he'll do it like.
And don't forget, you can always just put them with the regular skeletons and say that they're children.
That's tricked. Ooh, that's dark.
Yeah, baby.
That's real dark.
That's immediately what I thought of.
That's pretty dark. But with what I liked about this guy, and the reason why I brought it up, is A, halflings, which you find detestable, but...
No, what are you talking about? I love halflings.
It's skeleton.
But only hobbits.
Yeah, only hobbits.
If they're not hobbits, then they're garbage.
But what I like about what this guy did with his Kickstarter is he arranged the pledges to either be for Kings of War or...
Ninth Age?
Dragon Rampart.
I've never heard of Dragon Rampart.
Dragon Rampart, it's a smaller skirmish scale fantasy game that a lot of Grognards like. It's done by Osprey.
Okay.
Not a terrible rule
set.
All
I need to do is say it was by Osprey, and I'll be like, oh, okay.
Not a terrible rule set, but it's not fantastic. But I like that he separated his bids into that, because he knew, he obviously is a grognard himself and knows that, like, some people might like Robin.
He's making a halfling skeleton army. He smells weird. I'm confident in saying
I don't
that.
Care. I think the guy's, let's give him a game classy salute for doing something that no one else would ever would do.
I absolutely will salute him. He still smells funny.
Stonehaven is doing another Kickstarter. They got, I think, about 2 weeks left. Stonehaven's the guys who did the dwarves, the elves, and the
they do those, like, groups of gnomes. Adventurers. Very cool.
Very cool. Very expensive. Like, this is fucking expensive.
I got the dwarf adventurer set. It was nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you get, do you still have it?
I painted it and sold it.
Oh. I was going to say, I would get some of those models
off. They're fucking awesome models.
But not for the price. Not for the price.
I very much enjoyed the price that I received for my painted copies.
Well, there you go. I'm not... Song of Ice and Fire, we already talked about. Dungeons of Doom 3, the Dragon Slayers. So there's this guy, like, Darcy Perry. His name is Darcy Perry, which is, he's obviously very British.
Mr. Darcy!
Mr. Darcy! No, he's New Zealand. He's a Kiwi.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense. I mean, it's not far off. Yeah. I mean, New Zealand is like Australia, England's Australia, so.
It's less lethal Australia.
Yeah.
From what I understand, that's basically what it is.
So is New
Speaking of lethal Australia, did you hear about that kid?
With the
fucking flesh-eating lice? Like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's...
Fucking Australia, man.
That's why I never go in the ocean, period.
Australia, man, that's dangerous.
Yeah. There was this guy, and he obviously... These characters are just his players from whatever D&D game he's running. Mm-hmm. And he just, has someone sculpt them and cast them up so that they can play with them, and then he sells the sculpts, which I think is an awesome idea. I mean, I'm not always so great on it, but he does have a character who's a halfling were-rat, and his name is Horse Puncher Jones. So, there you go.
That's awesome.
The guy's name is Horse Puncher Jones.
That's so fucking dumb. I love it.
And also, if you really like the really grognardy fantasy stuff, Brugelberg by Lead Adventure. Lead Adventure is literally the guys who do Old Hammer shit.
Oh, nice.
Like, they have some really nice Kickstarters and some really nice, like, old school style figures. They released Brugelberg, which is like citizens for towns.
Brugelberg.
they're all like really gross, like foppish characters. So like you'll have like the nobleman with like the big gut hanging out, and, like the buck teeth and like the big wart and everything like that, and the lady who's got like a wig falling off and like it's just like it's they're wonderfully
just fucking gross peasants.
Yes, and it's I give them my full thumbs up on that. So that's about it. Anything else that we missed? My Little Pony Tales from Equestria. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah, that's the book. I thought, because you were saying it, and I thought I remembered seeing it when I was flipping through this book, and I did.
My daughter wants it real bad.
It's a two-page spread on ICV2. There's special dice sets. There's a unicorn dice set, an earth pony dice set, and a Pegasus dice set.
Yeah, my daughter wants it real bad.
There's also tokens of friendship.
She wants me to run her through a game.
Well, there's a starter set, just like a D&D one. It comes with the book and
it does, yeah,
little,
I know.
Little standees.
I bought my niece a cop. She's older than my daughter.
As awful as it is.
And they live in Minnesota, so I sent it to her.
As awful as it is, it actually looks like the content's really good, like old school role-playing wise. Like the adventure, they have an adventure called The Curse of the Statuette, which is literally like an old-ass D&D module. It's got a box, it comes with a DM screen, dice, reference cards, book, all that shit. The starter set, same deal. Like
it's Alessio. He wrote all the rules.
Yeah. So I mean, there's that.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Why you wouldn't I wouldn't have it any other way.
I would not play it because it says it is a complete role playing game system for all who believe that friendship is magic. I do not believe that friendship is magic.
No.
So no My Little Pony role playing for me.
No. I wouldn't expect it to be for you. I may have to GM it someday, and I'll give you a review.
However. If the rules are compatible enough, I do have some Lamentations of the Flame Princess adventures, which you could run your daughter through with My Little Pony characters.
Well, you could run it through. Everything is compatible if you work hard enough, Steve.
Yes. Now we're talking. I've got Blood in the Chocolate, which is the Willy Wonka thing. That's really good.
I was looking at that. I was like, oh, that sounds fantastic.
It's great. It's fucking great.
I want to play that. I don't want to run that. I want to play
it's
that.
It's fucking great. All of the modules are great. And I've got a Red and Pleasant Land, which is the fucking fucked up Alice in Wonderland, which is cool.
Yeah.
And something that they do in Lamentations books, which I think is amazing, and by completely different authors. So this is just their like own like, oh, I have a couple modules written by one guy, and he has items that transport you to another module. And I looked at the other module. He didn't write the other module. It was another author who did that other module. So it's just like, yep, transports you to this one.
Am I gonna have to buy you a dirty sweatshirt this year at Gen Con like I did to do last year?
I hope there's one, but I haven't seen an announcement that there's one.
Did you sell that?
No, I still have it.
Oh, you still have that?
Yeah.
It said something very dirty on it. So
it's a fantastic sweatshirt.
I've been told I'm not supposed to say what it says.
I just don't know where I'm gonna wear it.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's a.
But it's a great sweatshirt.
I loved.
I'd wear it if I went to Gen Con.
Well, you know, I bought the main rule set for Lamentations there, and I was like, oh, this looks neat. And I was there, and I was like, talking with the guy, and he was just like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, you guys are very rude. I would think that you guys would be much more pleasant.
Oh no, dude, fucking Raggy is antisocial as shit. If it was him,
I don't think it was him.
Okay, yeah, that dude's just super antisocial.
I mean, but even still, like, you're.
I didn't think he would be there. That's why
selling the shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wants to hawk you books from his house. I don't think he wants to actually go anywhere and see anyone.
Oh, it's Gen Con.
I would be surprised if he was there. Well, he also lives in fucking Finland or something.
Well,
shit,
yeah, I mean, I think it was probably whatever the U.S. distributor is.
He's probably just some goon.
Some goon. Hired goons.
Some goons. You don't scare me. You or your goons.
Yeah, if you guys are going to Gen Con, by the way, just hit me up on the Facebook. Let me know if you want to stop by, say hi, or anything like that, if you're running a booth or anything like that. I know a couple people are running booths, so I'll stop by and say hi. Yeah, I'll probably be there Friday through Sunday. I'm going an extra day. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your planet arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at planetarbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. Best way you can get a hold of us. And we will often post funny things that we find humorous from the internets. Usually it's when I'm browsing Reddit and I go, ha, the fans of the podcast will like this, the listeners will like this, and that's where I get everything from. So you can the best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to us on the YouTube. All right, guys, so confession time. The reason why the last couple episodes haven't been posted for Game Classy is I've been posting them to the wrong page.
That's awesome.
So I'll try and get the older ones on there. If you listen to it through YouTube, if anyone doesn't say anything otherwise, I'm probably not going to go back and post them, but whatever.
Well, they probably are just like, man, they haven't made an episode for a long time. If we have any YouTube exclusive listeners, yeah, they're probably like, where are the last two episodes?
It was like last four. It was like ridiculous amount. Because I kind of was like, they were like, you've exceeded the amount of bandwidth you could put it for an unverified account. I'm like, I have a verified account. What's going on? I was like, oh, shit. This is because I updated my computer with the new version of Windows, and it like completely destroyed all my cookies because Windows is fucking terrible.
Dank.
Yeah. I should learn how to write Linux. I'll install Ubuntu.
This is a Unix system. I can use this.
I know this. It's a Unix system.
Just fucking flying around in virtual reality like the fucking Lawnmower Man. Fucking movie.
I haven't seen so terrible. And you can also listen to our sister podcast. We have Play On Podcast, which is all about Pat and Steve arguing about RPGs. Pretty much what it's devolved into.
It's mostly just him being wrong about RPGs.
He really is. I'm not going to lie, Steve. We'll disagree on a lot of things. We agree on The Hobbit is an amazing movie and that RPGs are a superior form of gaming.
It's true.
But we'll disagree that you like fighting games and I don't like fighting games. Yeah.
They're not for everyone.
No. You also have Weeb Town, which has been coming out sporadically.
We're going to record an episode tomorrow.
You're going to talk about Japanese things.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Boku no Hero Academia.
I don't know those words.
Hi.
Hi. And we'll also have Comic Book Logic, which will be coming back soon. Until next cast, Steve, after Gen Con?
I don't know. I don't really have anything clever or fun to say, but the Dragonfire deck building game does actually look pretty sweet.
Would you say it's fire?
I would say that it's the Dungeons & Dragons deck building game.
Game Classy.